bless you. If you'll take your Bible and turn to Psalm 103, we're going to get there. I've been doing a lot of ministry to the building this week. And if you think the weather was hard on you, you ought to have been around here. I've been at the building every day this week, but I haven't been to church because this is not the church. This is the church. When Jesus uses the word church in the Bible, he's not talking about a building. And so it's nice to have church. Anybody miss church last week? I like my preaching better last week than here because I was sitting by a fire at my house. And that was kind of nice. And but it puts a time limit on me because the fire's going to go out. Molly said she is not putting another log on. So you preach until the log's gone, then you shut up, and it's over. Okay, good. Hey, so we're going to go to Psalm 103, and I'm going to do just some good old dig into the Bible, look at a couple words, exactly just looking at the text, okay? Let me give you what the context of the scripture is, and it is Psalm 103 is David making a sevenfold argument on why you should worship God. So Psalm 103, the other day I was driving in my car, I was going through a protocol that's natural to me. I've done it for years. At certain times I have four or five different prayer protocols I go to, and I thought, this prayer protocol, I'd even kind of forgotten where I got it, and I go, people need to know this. It's very, very helpful in life. Who is the key worshiper in the Bible? Do you know who it is? David. And he writes the most songs, doesn't he? His father writes, his son wrote the Proverbs, but David writes the Psalms. And he writes these songs as worship to God. Much of New Testament verbiage and songs that we sing link back to Psalms that David wrote. Jesus quoted the Psalms more than he quoted any other scripture. And so the chief worshiper might have something wise to say to us, right? And so, but here's the interesting part, and it's helpful for me to know this, is he writes 7 points on why you should worship, then he doesn't go point by point, but he spends the next body of that verse of Psalm 103 referring to those 7 points. Then he ends it up with who should worship. And when you look at it, he starts off with the song that Melissa picked this morning. He starts off with it and he ends with it. And I don't know which came first, chicken or the egg. Did Melissa pick the song or did David write it first? Which one do you think? People go, chicken and egg, that's a big problem. I go, that's an easy problem. Read the Bible. God made chickens, then they had eggs. It's simple. God made people, then they had babies. It is very simple. Adam and Eve didn't have a belly button. Didn't have an umbilical cord. Everybody's senses had one. God created them, then they had offspring. That's what the scripture says. But this one, I'm confused. That one doesn't confuse me. Confused me. Did Melissa pick "Bless the Lord, O my soul," or did David say it first? Which one's the correct answer? You guys win Jeopardy today. David said it first. She's quoting the Bible, and we sang it. Okay. Now, here's a major point. It is a major point, and then we'll look at the 7 points, Psalm 103. Because who is David making the argument for? Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. That's the prayer I pray when I forgot to pray before I eat. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I already ate. Huh? Who's he making it for? And he'll tell you, because David's going to make a praise sandwich in Psalm 103. He's going to start with a phrase, fill it with a lot of meat, and then end with the same phrase. It's a praise sandwich. And he's going to tell you who he is making the argument for in the first verse and in the last verse. Okay? And I'll show you. Give me the 20. Don't start off with the 20 to 22. Okay? And this is going to tell you who should bless the Lord. Bless the Lord who? All his angels, or you his angels. So David is standing on the earth. He writes an argument, a thesis on why God should be worshiped. He's going to give you 7 points. Then he's going to play off of those 7 points with a poet's emotion. He's going to stir up your heart. And then at the end, he's going to tell you who should worship. So David is standing on the earth. He looks into heaven and he goes, all of you angels, what should they do? What does it say? Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength. Why do they excel in strength? Because God made them strong. Why are they big and strong? He goes, you need to bless that you are strong. Bless the Lord because you're strong. So point number one, who should worship the Lord according to that scripture? The angels. Does anybody think the angels might be worshiping God right now? What time did we start worship today? We're good. We start at 10, right? And Ron prays a little bit. Then we sing a song. But let me tell you what happened. We did not start worship today. We joined a worship service that was already in session. And it didn't start today in Australia. I always, when the thing falls, I watch Australia. They're the ones that celebrate first, okay? But we never started worship on this day in Australia. Worship has been going on from eternity to eternity. Amen? Do you know there was a time that God loved God when there were no angels? And then according to the scripture, God created angels. Some angels were created just for worship. Those angels are worshiping. And David goes, you need to worship God, angels, because you were created, because you're strong, because you have a voice, because you excel in strength. There's a reason you excel in strength. What's that reason? Did anybody ever wonder? I appreciate you guys' responses today. It's just encouraging my heart. Now, anybody ever wonder why you're in the earth? Isn't that a good answer? Why are you in the earth? Anybody ever want to know what their destiny is? And I've taken more destiny classes, understand what my purpose is. I thought surely I should know it by now. But here I am still looking up destiny clauses, okay? Have you ever wondered, and you want to do the most you can with what you have that God's given you in gifting, and today I want to know what my purpose is and what my destiny is? Anybody ever feel like that? If you don't, you're dead, but okay. The reason is, here's number one, and if you'll start here, everything will build off of it. Number one, you were created as a worshiper. And if you'll just set your attention toward the Lord and start worshiping, other things will be built upon that. Here's what will happen when I'm destiny hunting. I'm looking for purpose and destiny that I have in God. I'll get my eyes on me and my eyes off of God, and I'll end up more confused trying to figure out what my gift is than I will be if I will look to Him, look at the giver. And it will help you to discern the gift that you've been given, right? And so David's going to clear that up a little bit under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and tell the angels, angels, worship, because you were created to worship and you have strength, okay? And then he goes, bless the Lord, you angels, you excel in strength, you do his word, you heed to the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts. That word host has two significant meanings, and it's very interesting. David the poet, David the word guy, uses a word host can sometimes mean heavenly host in the scripture, and sometimes it can mean the people of God that have gathered around God that are God's host. It's used both ways in the Bible. Sometimes God in the Bible is called the Lord of hosts. Anybody remember reading in the Bible Lord of hosts? What does that mean? Adonai, Lord, another word, creator. And I go, Lord of hosts. What is Lord of hosts? And so it has there's two significant insights to the Lord of hosts. Number one is he's the Lord of the host of heaven. Another will say he is the captain of the heavenly host. He is, how many angels are there? Did you know how many angels there are according to the Bible? 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands. That's what it says in Revelation. Where did those angels come from? Because David's going to introduce you to the angelic realm in this psalm. Where did those 1,000 times 10,000 and 10,000 times 10,000, where did they come from? God created them. You know, there's one angel in the book of Revelation that has one foot on one continent and another foot on another continent. Somebody say big angel. Huh? And there are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands, right? And they have a captain, they have a general. His name is Jesus. He is the captain of the armies of heaven, or the Old Testament name, he's the Lord of hosts. But it can also mean, the word host can also mean there will be an army in the Old Testament, and it'll say it was a great host. Well, that's not angels, is it? There was a great host. That is natural people. So David's going to use a transition term. He's going to say, worship the Lord, angels. How many people agree that angels should worship the Lord? Three of us. Two of us are even excited about it. Okay? We believe angels should worship the Lord. And so then David's going to go, because he's the Lord of hosts, worship him, angels. Now watch the next one. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. That word minister is a word, it can mean angels, but it most often in the scripture is talking about the people of the Lord, or you folk right here. You don't have your minister's license on the earth, but you are ministers in heaven. Do you know that? Turn to your neighbor and just go, welcome minister. Just let them know. Minister Dan and Minister Dennis. That's the word. But now here's the question, Minister Mark. Who is Minister Mark minister to? He's the minister. If there is a minister of whatever in the government, what's his job? Whatever. If he's the minister of foreign affairs, what's his job? Foreign affairs. So now we have in our midst today, Minister Mark. Minister Mark's main ministry this week has been snow shoveling. So that's Minister Mark. All right. Now, who is Mark or Molly, Minister Molly? Who is Molly a minister to? Okay. She is a minister to, Molly can even minister to Mark. And, here's the way she ministers to Mark. She gets me out of his hair. And she'll say, send him home. Okay? Right? So Mark goes, he's a minister. He's a minister to people he comes in contact with on behalf of whom? Yeah, who made Mark a minister? Who made Molly a minister? According to the scripture. The Lord made her his ambassador, his servant. Another word is minister. So who does Molly minister to? People in God's name. But I'm going to tell you that's secondary. Because Molly's primary ministry, she got it. When did Molly get her ministry? She's been having it a long time, y'all. Okay? When did Molly become a minister? She is one, according to the scripture. The day she got saved, she became a minister. A minister to who? Yay. She just hit the big answer. Molly became a minister to the Lord the day she received the Lord. Okay? And now, on that very same day, he goes, I anoint you by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to seal you. He's going to empower you. He's going to lead you. You don't even need a class before you get him. The day you receive the Lord, you become a minister to God, and then he goes, and I'm going to anoint you to be a minister on my behalf. And now let me help us. Here's where you will find burnout. Burnout is what David is arguing against in this. He's arguing against spiritual burnout, and he has little clues on how to not become spiritual burnout. A, that's some people, devil push it this way. And the other is people that get so spiritually bored they think they are going to die. If you're a Christian and you are so spiritually bored you're about to die, there is a problem. The problem is not your ministry. It's that you're not using your ministry, and your ministry is be other people, but A, unto the Lord. And so David goes, worship the Lord, angels. And then he's going to speak to the people of God, and he's going to go, worship the Lord first before you minister in his name, minister to his name. Before you minister on his behalf, minister to his person and to his presence. So he looks to the angels. You guys got a hard job up there singing on perfect pitch and having key, and you got rhythm together, and you're united, and you sing together to the Lord. It's a great job you have to listen to the word of the Lord and obey what it says and give him glory. All the angels ought to worship the Lord. Anybody agree with that? Totally, 100%. And then he's going to go, and now you ministers of the Lord. The Lord is the captain of the host of heaven, but he's the captain of the host on earth. So all you ministers of the Lord, worship the Lord. Anybody think that might be good? Maybe next week. You're tired. You took last week off and you're tired this week. Maybe next week we'll catch up. Okay? Now, watch it with me. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, minister to of his who do his pleasure. Now watch this. Bless the Lord, all his works. And here's what that's saying. May all of the created order worship the Lord. He said it another way in Psalm 150. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, and that is beautiful. And David writes throughout the Psalms this concept right here. And here's what it is. Here's what it is. Let a star shine for the glory of God. That's what he says. He goes, every time you look into the sky at night and realize that's a long way away, and from there to there's a long way away, and those stars are shining, you look up in that sky and you say, glory to God. My parents lived in America. I lived in Korea. And my dad said this one time. He goes, you look up at the moon tonight, and I'll look up at the moon tonight, and we will both be worshiping the same God by looking at the same moon. That's a good thought right there, isn't it? So watch what David is going to say. Let all the angels, that's everything in heaven, let those angels, because there's different things in heaven than angels, let the angels give glory to God, okay? Then B, let the people of God give glory to God, okay? Then see, let everything that has ever been created glorify. Let the rocks cry out. I used to have a friend that said, the Bible says, if you won't worship the Lord, the rocks will cry out. That's what David wrote. I had a friend that said, ain't no rock crying for me, right? And he'd just lift his hand, worship Jesus. But if he didn't, let the created order give glory to God, okay? Now, David is going to answer a question. A question right here that all of us have had in our lives. He's going to answer it at the end, but he began with how he's going to end. And here's what it ends. Have you ever felt like you didn't deserve to worship? Have you ever felt like you couldn't worship? We all have. We all have. And then the devil will magnify that thought in your mind, and you'll go, whatever it is you go, and you'll go, I just can't worship God because of this circumstance that was done to me, this thing that I've done, whatever that reason is. And David goes, if you're breathing, somebody goes, I can't go to church. I've done A, B, C, D. I can't stand before the Lord. Who does she? And church, historically, sometimes church gossips. We don't have anything, God. But I don't think we really do. Let's not get any more people, because one of them will be a church gossip. We don't have any. We like that, right? But what they will do is, who does she think she is to try to worship God? Look what she put on Facebook yesterday. Right? And so David wants to clear that up, and he'll fix the part about Facebook yesterday in the body of the treaties that he gives. But here's what he's going to say. Even if you messed up last night or maybe this morning. Somebody sent me a book one time, and here's the title of it. I never read the book, but I've never forgot the title. How to Pray After You Kick the Dog. I go, it's the best title ever, and I get it totally, and I don't want to ruin it because the guy might have written a terrible book, but his title was so good, I don't need to read the book. How can I pray after I've done something wrong? That's the concept. How do you, church, the enemy's number one target is people driving to church with small children. Because you'll start off in worship, intend to worship, fight all the way to church, then get out and lead worship, okay? Huh? But here's what David's going to say. Even when I've lived a life, I'm just giving my testimony because somebody preached, pray. Could one of you ministers please pray for me this morning, right? Molly and I, we never fight coming to church, ever. We've never had one. We drive separate cars. It's a way to fix it all together. Now, for real, because I'm going to show you, we're going to open it up in right now. Huh? So David goes, I need to convince me that I am worthy of worship. Because that word bless is not a word. The literal language is not a word that means I am excited to worship Jesus. That word bless, Jesus hadn't been revealed yet, so David is thinking the concept of God. Does that make sense? But that word is a command word. It's not a word of, oh, I feel good today, let me bless the Lord. That word right there, Molly doesn't allow the dog on the couch. We had a long-term dog that was for the kids. After the dog passed, we have not replaced it because it was for the kids and they're not in the house. And so whenever they come over, they want a new dog. And now when they were children, she give in to them. But now they're old, right? You want a dog? Go buy you a dog. When you buy your dog, don't bring it here. There's no dog in the house. But if old Pongo, rest in peace, bless his soul. If old Pongo got up on the couch and she came in, everybody else had let him, but Pongo knew and Molly knew and everybody knew Pongo doesn't belong on the couch. If she would walk into the room, the kids would try to hide him, his ears would go down, and she would say, Pongo, get off the couch. Kids would part like the Red Sea, and the dog would jump off the couch. That is not bless you, sweet Pongo. That word is David saying, soul, worship God now. That word, and he's going to sandwich it in between. I have bad things that happen in life. I have good things that happen in life. I have up days, I have down days, I have really bad days, I have circumstances that are fruitful, I have circumstances that drain me. Now you go ahead and pastor a church and tell me that doesn't happen. Or you teach a Sunday school class, or you raise a family, or you run a business, or you run a country like David did. And have your own son try to overthrow you, and men you personally trained try to kill you. Have a father-in-law that you have done nothing but love and serve. You turn your back and he throws a spear at you. And by the grace of God, he misses. You have children die. You have a stepson rape a stepdaughter. Or a half-son rape a half-daughter. You think a guy like that might have a trouble or two in life? And here's what he's going to say. There are days that I do not feel like worshiping. And so he uses a word, he makes an argument, and the sevenfold argument is for his own mind. He goes, I got a sevenfold argument. I am not going to lose this argument. This argument is going to take place between my own ears. And let me tell you how I'm going to win it. I'm going to tell my soul, there is no option. You will bless the Lord. You will bless him at the end. You will bless him at the beginning. Pongo, get off the couch, right? Mind, emotion, and will, listen to me. We bless the Lord. Angels bless the Lord. People of the Lord bless the Lord. Everything that's created blesses the Lord. And then look what he goes. And I will bless the Lord. That's how he ends. Okay. Now we'll go back to the beginning. This is a discipline I learned 3 decades ago now. So, and I can say it's simple, but not easy. Is the commanding of your emotion to bless God no matter what. I am already, what David says, preconditioned that I know what my response is going to be before I have the good day or the bad day. I already have predetermined that my response will be, I will worship God. Grr, great pep talk. Let's go do that. It'll work till Tuesday. Then something bad will happen. You're going to hear bad news. And then David goes, I'll have a response to bad news. Hey, soul, you're not going to feel like it today. This is going to hurt. You're in a bad time. Your child just died. Bless the Lord. Why in the world would I want to do that? And he goes, I got 7 reasons. Right? When I give you these 7 reasons, I don't care what your opinion on it is. This is me talking to me. This is David talking to David. He goes, I got 7 reasons you're going to worship God. There is nothing you will ever face that will trump these 7 reasons. Okay? And so bless the Lord, oh my soul. Number one, go give me the 1 to 5 now. And what I want you to know is where this is. Because I was driving down the car the other day and I'm going through that cycle. I wasn't having a bad day. I have bad days, I have good days, and I have every days. My every days are pretty boring. There you have more trouble than good, more challenges than easy. But that's a day. That's just a day. Then I have some days that are like slamming really good. Then I have some days that are kind of bad. I've noticed that's happened all my life. I'm pretty sure it'll happen the rest of it. I'm driving down the road with a kind of day. I think it was Monday or Tuesday, one. And I'm going through these 7 reasons in my own mind. When I'm alone, I say it out loud. When I'm with people, I say it in my mind, mostly. And I'm just going through, God, I worship you because. God, I worship you because. I might not get through all 7. I might get through 3. But what I'm doing when I do that, I learned it from the best worshiper, one of the best worshipers in the history of the world. What I'm doing is I'm telling my mind, Pongo, get off the couch. What I'm doing is I'm telling my mind, Pongo, mind, all of a sudden, full attention. Hey, mind. Bless the Lord. Why in the world are we blessing the Lord? Look at this. Oh, my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits. Here's number one. I remember the goodness of God over my life. I don't know what your benefits are. They are innumerable. You could start right now. When you get to heaven, you will be continuing throughout eternity saying, God, you gave me this benefit, this benefit, this benefit, this benefit. Anybody say amen? Just fake it. Huh? But it's interesting. The Hebrew word is not God gave me a blessing. That word benefit, you can look it up, is not God gave me a blessing. That word benefit is you interacted with me and I was better off on the other end. Ha ha, that's totally different. Uh-huh. What was it you made that was really good the other day? We let Molly in the kitchen. She made something. The kids were home. It was one of their memorable meals. Anyway, she made it was really good. We're all sitting at the table. We're eating the meal that Molly made. That was a benefit. Amen. Really good. It was more than Molly made us some chicken. Here's what it was. We interacted with you. How many people know dinner would be different in our house if we said, we interacted with you and we walked away better because you interacted with us in this meal? That's that word benefit. And so David goes, all of my life since I was a child, and they kicked me out, and you saw me, and you anointed me, and you made me king, and I have a million benefits of what you've done, and this is a bad day. But soul, shut up. Argument between my ears, silence. I will bless the Lord because of the benefits he has given me. Now look at this. He goes, when I do that, now my mind is on the benefit and not on the difficulty that's pressing on me. Okay? So, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits. Three, you forgave all my sins. I will bless the Lord. He has benefited me. A. Two, he forgives all my sins. Let me tell you why you sin. You sin for three reasons. It's an art. Do you know sin in the Bible is an archery term? Archery, shooting a bow. It means you miss the mark. Sin is simply missing the mark. It's shooting too low. There are three reasons you missed the mark. One, you didn't know there was a target. Sometimes I didn't know that was wrong. Then God says, hey, that's not good. Oh, okay, thank you. Huh? Instead of shooting in the wind, let me shoot at the target. Sometimes I sin just because I didn't know it was wrong. I didn't know I offended you. I didn't know ABCD. That can always also sit in something, I'll go down further, okay? Number two is I sin because I'm weak and I tried to hit the target and I missed it. I sinned. Paul goes, I was trying, I couldn't do it. He goes, the thing I wanted to do and the thing I didn't want to do, I found out I was doing that. I tried, messed up. What do you do with that? It'll break relationships. And you go, I'm sorry. And they go, I don't care. What are you going to do? You can't go back and remake it. The day's over. You missed the mark. There's another reason. And this is the big one, is I shot too low because I was aiming too low. I hit right where I was aiming. Some of my sin is, I know you said do this. I don't care. I will do what I want. David had some of those days, really bad days, just like that. He had some days, read the Psalms. He goes, God, I didn't know. Then he'll go, God, I was weak. And then he will go, God, I hit right where I was aiming. You said, don't do it. I did it. Now, what am I going to do? He said, I cried out to you. And you forgave my iniquities. Oh, my God. Even in this psalm, he says, I cried out to you, and you separated my sin from me as far as the east is from the west. And I want you to know something. That was a spirit-inspired thought. You have information he did not have. He didn't say as far as heaven is from earth. He did not say as far as north is from south. He said as far as east is from west. That don't meet. Oh my goodness. God, I was weak. I missed a mark. Oh God, I aimed low. I missed a mark. And then here I stand today, and you have forgiven all of my iniquities. Come on. You healed all my diseases. I'm finished in 30 seconds. I'll come back and hit them in depth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You forgive all my iniquities. You heal all my diseases. You redeem my life from destruction. You crown me with loving kindness and tender mercies. You satisfy my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I hit one and two. Now I'm going to hit seven, and we're going to take communion because seven will tie with communion. And here's what he goes. I was weak. I've been fighting all days. There are days that the Bible talks about his men killing 1,000 enemy, one guy. He goes, I was fighting all day long, and the enemies were about to overcome me. Read Psalms. And he goes, I was weak, and you renewed my strength like the eagle. Make one illustration. It went a little bit in depth on this, and I studied it one time. Eagles soar, they don't flap. Other birds flap. An eagle catches the wind and soars. He can flap, he can go quick, but he soars. You come out to a lake and watch them. We watch them sometimes catching fish. And what they will do is they soar, and when they dive, they just adjust their wing and boom, down with their talon, and they pick up that fish. And they sit in a tree right beside my house in the morning. I watch them fish. Where they're fishing, that's my fish finder. That's where the fish are. Let me tell you how eagle works. He doesn't flap, he soars. When there's a storm, the sparrow and the crow and the starling are grounded because their flappers won't work. When there's a storm, what the eagle can do, David calls it, he rides on the wings of the wind. The eagle catches the wind and soars over the storm. Little old sparrow and starling, they're younger and stronger, but they're beat up and grounded. And David goes, I looked up into heaven. I blessed the Lord in the midst of my trial. I set an argument in my own mind that I will bless him because he restores my strength. Just worshiping the Lord, standing before him in the midst of a storm, giving him the glory due his name, out arguing my own mind to bless him, will cause strength to begin to rise in my inner man. My inner man will be strengthened with might by the Spirit. And after that encounter that was a benefit, I will walk away different because strength will be imparted into me. Now, Paul picks up that thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And here's what he says. Some of you are weak because when you came to communion, you came in a wrong way. Here's what he says. If you will come to communion in the right way, it'll be a benefit, an encounter with God, that as you walk away from that encounter, your inner man will be strengthened. Three kinds of strength, and then we're going to pray. I'm going to do them in 15 seconds. There are three kinds of strength that humans have. One of it is dynamic strength. It's what I can push. Number two is static strength. It's what I can hold. I can hold more weight on my shoulders just standing like this than weight if I wanted to push the weight up. Pushing the weight up is dynamic strength. Holding the weight is static strength. The third kind of strength is endurance strength. How long can I push it? How long can I hold it? How long can I do the run? One guy may have a lot of dynamic strength, but he doesn't have very much endurance strength. The other guy, he's a track runner. He's a cross-country guy. He can run for 5 miles, but he can't pick up 10 pounds. He has endurance strength. He doesn't have dynamic strength. Some of us here today just need the strength from the Lord to push through something. Somebody else might just need the strength of just having stand. I just need strength to stand. Somebody else may say, I'm just kind of weak. I've been doing it. It's been happening a long time, and I'm weak, and I need endurance strength. What Paul will tell you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there are three things, is that when you gather together, the body will be your strength. When you gather around the table of the Lord, the means of grace will come to you. The body and the means are imparted by the Lord Himself. Body, means, and presence. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and everything that is within me. Bless your holy name. Father, we thank you for a name given that has strength beyond our problem. We gather our own mind, gather together with angels, with the host on the earth, with the created beings, and give you the glory due your name. We command our soul, give your direction and give your attention to the God of the heavens. We come together corporately as a people to worship you in the beauty of your holiness and to bless your holy name. We gather around this table, your means of grace, believing that strength and health and life will be released through your presence among us. We are benefited. We encountered you. We walked away different. Our response is, we bless the Lord. Amen.